Okay, so make a point that frames the parsha. I've made it before, but I think it's a point worth making. One of the interesting things about Vayetze, really the end of Toldot going through Vayishlach, is that it is one giant chiasm. What is a chiasm?
Chiasm?
Yes.
Chiasm is like where you start with one thing and then you like flip the sentence.
Correct. Right, it comes from the Greek letter ki, or it looks like an X. I mean, it's a literary structure, basically an ABBA structure, which is meant to draw focus primarily, usually to the center, right? That whatever is the center is the most important, or the and often it also draws attention to. But sometimes you have an ABCBA structure, right? Sometimes you have an ABC B prime A prime structure. Right, meaning that you see development, right? So sometimes the structure isn't just meant to draw attention to what's in the middle, but to draw attention to the fact that you have similar things on the outside, but there's been development between them. Yeah, got it? So one of my favorite in Tanakh is Vayetze, because really Yaakov's life from the end of Toldot through the beginning of Vayishlach follows one giant structure like this, right? It's pretty evident. If you look at the end of Toldot, going to Vayetze, what's happening?
Esav's kids.
Okay. Well,
they marries that woman.
Well, in Yaakov's life. In Yaakov's life.
Oh, right before that.
Well, or even right after that. What's he doing?
Yaakov is in the process of running away from Esav.
Right, he's leaving the land and running away from Esav. Yeah. Now, how does Vayishlach start off?
Same thing.
No, he's coming back. Right? I mean, he's coming. Or he's coming back. He's a prime, right? He's coming back and he's confronting Esav, who he still thinks wants to kill him. Right. But this time he's confronting him. Now, of course, what does he see as he is leaving? As he's leaving the country? What does he see, people? Remember.
No.
What? What does he see? No, when he's leaving the country.
I'm thinking.
Beginning of Vayetze, what does he see when he's leaving the country?
It's not a dream.
Right over you.
Yes, it's the dream. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Oh.
He had a dream of the Malachim going up, right? Going up and down. Now, what does he. How does Vayishlach start off, right? How does he confront Esav?
He sets out his plans, he's got the groups.
Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. The first three words of Yisrael, he sends malachim, right? Which Rashi notes are two deal, either they're angels or messengers. But the point is the same word, right? He starts off, right? He leaves when he's running away from Esav. He sees malachei Elokim olim v'yordim, and when he's going, he sends malachim. Right? This should already point you into this direction. Right, then he has, right, once he gets to Lavan, so he has, I'm going to draw the general contours of this, but he gets to Lavan and he's deceived by Lavan, right, what happens on the way out?
Oh, he takes the idols, oh no, sorry, Rachel takes the idols with her.
Yeah, they deceive Lavan and leave, right, 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 he deceives Lavan on his way in, Lavan is deceived by him on the way out. Right, and we can go on and we can build this structure, and you'll see that this is actually one of those times where it's actually pretty neat that many of the features of his life on the way in are reflected on the way out. Now, you can build this one all the way down and figure out what exactly is the middle point of this chiasm and draw all types of interesting things, and it comes up somewhere in the middle, maybe around, I think, Naphtali, and people have drawn things from it, but I just want to make a broad point. Which is, what do I think the point is of this basic structure? I mean, I think, in a nutshell, it goes as follows. The Yaakov that we meet in the end of Toldot and Vayetze is a very passive personality. Right? He is told by his mother what to do. He's told by his father what to do. He allows himself to be deceived. He allows himself to be bullied and just run away from Esav. Right? He allows himself to be deceived more than once. Right? He gets deceived with the daughters. He gets deceived with the money. And he may be a good person, but he is not a person who is capable of building a nation because he does not have...
charisma?
I don't know if it's charisma. He doesn't have street smarts. He isn't tough. Right? He didn't have what it takes to build a nation. Right? It's not just enough to be a good person to build a nation. Right? You can't just be bossed around by everybody. You can't just be scared of everybody. Right? You can't just watch the angels going up and down. Right? Everything. He's a spectator. Right? He's a spectator and a follower. But he can't be. He is the third and final of the Avod. He is going to build the nation. His children are the ones who lead. He's going to have to be the ones that tells them to leave Israel, give them the tools to come back. Right? That all hangs on his shoulders. He can't be that person. When you finish the Parsha, he emerges. All the things that he had. Last time when he left, he saw Malachim. This time, he sends Malachim. Last time he is scared of Esav. This time, he confronts Esav. And yes, he's still scared. And yes, he still thinks that he's going to be killed. But instead of being scared and running away, he does something about it. He comes up with strategies. He comes up with tefillah. He comes up with practical solutions to a pressing problem. He comes in and he's deceived by Lavan. And on his way out, he realizes he's dealing with a deceptive person. He needs to...
deceive.
He needs to see that that's what, right? He needs to deceive that that's what it takes. Right? He needs to make sure that he has a salary. He needs to make sure that he doesn't get tricked. And what, in the end of the day, led to this change in his personality? Broadly speaking. What's in the middle of this chiasm? In very broad strokes.
He gets married. He works for 7 years.
Yeah, so all of that boils down to one thing.
Time.
I mean, yes, time. What else? But time where?
Away from home. Away from comfort, away from myself, away from...
And in whose house?
Lavan's house.
Specifically Lavan's house.
Because what is the best way to toughen yourself up and make sure that you are capable of dealing with adversity? It's not just time and getting older, it's facing adversity. Right? The more adversity you face, the more you learn to deal with it. I think part of what the Midrash is getting at there, but the point is, Yim Lavan Garti, meaning he lived with Lavan and he dealt with all that it took, and yes, he learned business there, and he learned he couldn't run away, right? I mean, at the end, he escaped, but there were decades where he was there and he was dealing with Lavan and all his trickery, and he stayed, right? And he stayed and he learned to deal with it, and he emerged victorious. He learned how to deal with Lavan. He learned how to turn that to his advantage. He learned how to build wealth. Right? He managed to build a relationship with his wives. I mean, if you want the reverse of that, right? At the beginning you have the trick reverse of his wives. What do you have at the end? He also has a switch of his wives, which is... You're like, what? Well, he switches his wives at the end of the parsha? Yes, he does.
Like, as in when he adds in Bilhah and Zilpah?
No.
Yes,
the Rachel and Leah. Yeah. When Rachel trades...
I thought it was a more complicated question.
No, when Rachel trades the Dudaim and says, okay, I'll sleep with you instead, and Leah this time proactively switches with Rachel. Right? She doesn't allow herself to be switched in by Lavan. Right? Leah and Rachel make a deal. And Leah this time goes in the place of Rachel, but with full mudaut. Everyone... Right, there's a decision. It's above board. Everyone understands, right? Isn't that what's going on?
I'm trying to remember the story.
Rachel wants the dudaim from Leah that her son picks for her, right? The flowers. So Leah doesn't want to give it. So what does Rachel do? I'll trade with you. Yaakov was supposed to sleep with me tonight. To be in the tent with me tonight. You go, and Leah goes and confronts Yaakov and says, "I bought you for tonight." Right, that's what she says, right? Why do you think there's that language? Meaning it's because this is the marriage all over again. Right, there's going to be a switch again, but this time it's with full awareness of all the parties.
Right,
that they are in this together, they're both Yaakov's wife, they're dealing with it. Sometimes that means switching, but this time it's not loving calling the shots, it's Yaakov, and right, this is a redo. Right, this is Leah saying, I'm switching with Rachel, and Rachel said I could. Right, that is a switch. That is the same thing again, but this time without the deception, without the passivity. Right? And in the end of the day, what leads to this is, yes, part of it, the answer is time. Part of the answer is just experience. But part of it is, that's why he had to go to Lavan. Right, he had to go to Lavan because in order to emerge a toughened personality, he needed to go through a tough experience and learn to not run away and learn to contend with it. and he emerges, the Yaakov. And then when you see at the end, he's doing all the same things, right? This time he's with the Malachim, but he's sending Malachim, not watching them. He's right? Yes, Esav still wants to kill him, perhaps, but he's actively involved. He has plans. He's not stupid, right? But he's proactive. Right? He has street smarts. He's capable of not being just the spiritual father of the nation, but he has the ability to actually build it, to build a military, to build everything that he needs to actually be the practical father of a nation. Right? He develops in the middle of Vayetze. And that seems to be the fundamental purpose of this parsha, of why Yaakov has to go and spend time in adverse situation, is to become Yaakov. Or to really become... Or, to be fair, and this is, I think, the real way to summarize it, is to become who?
Yisrael.
Why? Because he... Because think about it. What's the last thing we hear about... He also gets a naming. Yaakov gets a naming at the end of Toldot. What is it? It's not a naming. It's what we call in Tanakh a midrash shame. Right? He gets an interpretation of his name. What's the interpretation? Yaakov, he can only get things by deception. And what is, and when he emerges after Vayetze and Vayishlach, what's he named? Yisrael. Why? Because he no longer needs to get things by deception. What does he need to do? How does he get it? Kisarita im Elokim v'adam v'tuchal. You fight them straight on and win. Right? He's midrash shame. At the end of Toldot is you only get things through deception. His midrash shame in Vayishlach is you can challenge human beings. You can even challenge gods, so to speak. Angels, but Elohim. Fine? Face to face and win. Right? It's the process from... Vayetze is the story of how Yaakov becomes Yisrael. Right? That's really what it is in a nutshell. Okay? So that is, like I said, the framing, I think, of Yaakov's life in these... Parshiot plus the two bookends in Toldot and Vayishlach, okay?